Heartstrings of Deception. Chapter 1. Shadows in the Ballroom. Ethan Marlowe adjusted the cuffs of his tailored suit, the cool fabric pressing against his skin as he stepped out of the hired car. The Greaves Mansion loomed ahead, an architectural marvel of stone and glass perched atop a hill overlooking the city. It was the kind of place that exuded wealth, power, and untouchability. But Ethan didn't believe in untouchable things. Everything, and everyone, had a weak spot. His job was to find it. The gravel crunched under his polished leather shoes as he approached the grand entrance. Soft classical music floated out into the crisp evening air, carried by the faint laughter of high society guests. A valet opened the heavy oak door, and Ethan stepped inside, his senses immediately assaulted by the opulence of the scene. Massive crystal chandeliers bathed the room in a warm golden light, casting a glow over elegantly dressed guests mingling with glasses of champagne in hand. The air smelled faintly of lilies and expensive perfume. Every detail of the space, from the marble floors to the intricately carved crown molding, screamed money. Old money. Ethan blended into the crowd effortlessly, his posture relaxed but commanding, his confident stride that of a man who belonged. He had spent years perfecting this skill, studying the nuances of the wealthy elite, the way they talked, moved, even the subtle inflections in their laughter. It was second nature to him now, a mask he wore with ease. His sharp blue eyes scanned the room, searching. Eleanor Greaves. He had seen countless photographs of her during his research. A strikingly beautiful woman in her late 40s, with dark hair that framed her face in soft waves and eyes that seemed to carry the weight of her late husband's empire. But pictures couldn't capture presence, and that was what Ethan needed to observe firsthand. He found her near the grand piano, standing with a small group of guests. She was even more captivating in person, her elegance understated but magnetic. Her black gown hugged her figure without being ostentatious, and a single diamond necklace glittered at her throat. She held a glass of champagne in one hand, her other resting lightly on the piano as if for balance. But it wasn't physical stability she sought, it was emotional. Ethan lingered at the edge of the room, observing her with the practiced eye of a predator sizing up its prey. There was something different about her, something that set her apart from the other socialites who flitted about the room like gilded butterflies. She wasn't here to impress anyone. She was here because it was expected of her. Her smile, though polite, didn't reach her eyes. "Beautiful, isn't she?" came a voice at Ethan's side. He turned to see a middle-aged man with a flushed face and an expensive, ill-fitting suit. The man's eyes were fixed on Eleanor, a faint smirk curling his lips. "Eleanor Greaves. The crown jewel of the Greaves estate." Ethan nodded, feigning casual interest. "She seems interesting." The man chuckled. "Interesting indeed. Poor thing's been through hell these past few years. Charles Greaves was a titan, a legend, but he left her a mountain of responsibility. If you ask me, she's handling it rather well, considering." "I take it you knew Charles?" Ethan asked, steering the conversation. "Knew him? Charles was a client of mine for years. Brilliant man.
Ruthless, but brilliant."
The man extended a hand.
"Harold Grayson, financial consultant."
"Ethan Marlowe," Ethan replied, shaking his hand firmly.
"A pleasure."
"You new to the circuit, Marlowe?
Don't think I've seen you at these events before."
"First time," Ethan lied smoothly.
"I'm just passing through the city, but I heard the Greaves Gala was not to be missed."
Harold laughed, clearly flattered to play tour guide to a newcomer. "Well, you're in for a treat. Eleanor hosts these events every year in Charles's honor. It's her way of keeping his legacy alive."
"A bit of a tradition now."
Ethan nodded thoughtfully, filing away the information. Harold, pleased with himself, patted Ethan on the shoulder before wandering off in search of another glass of champagne. Ethan returned his attention to Eleanor, watching as she stepped away from the group by the piano and moved toward the terrace doors. Now was his moment. He followed her at a careful distance, weaving through the crowd with practiced ease. As he stepped onto the terrace, the cool night air greeted him, carrying the faint scent of blooming jasmine. Eleanor stood at the balustrade,
her back to him, gazing out over the city lights. She looked ethereal in the moonlight, her silhouette framed by the soft glow of the mansion's outdoor lanterns. Ethan hesitated for a brief moment, the tiniest flicker of doubt crossing his mind. But he pushed it aside. Emotions were a weakness he couldn't afford. This was just another job, and Eleanor was just another mark. He cleared his throat softly, announcing his presence without startling her. She turned, her expression guarded but polite. "I hope I'm not intruding," he said, his voice low and warm. "But I couldn't help noticing you seemed in need of a moment away from the chaos." She studied him for a moment, her dark eyes searching his face. "And you? Are you escaping the chaos as well?" He smiled. "I suppose I am. Though I must admit, I didn't expect to find such a serene view here." Her lips curved into a faint smile. "The city does look beautiful at night, doesn't it?" "It does," Ethan agreed, stepping closer but keeping a respectful distance. "Though I suspect it pales in comparison to the beauty of the hostess." Her eyes widened slightly, and a faint blush rose to her cheeks. "You're quite bold, Mr.
Marlowe," he supplied.
"Ethan Marlowe."
"And boldness, Mrs. Greaves, is simply honesty dressed in confidence."
She laughed softly, a genuine sound that seemed to catch even her by surprise. "A clever answer, Mr. Marlowe. Tell me, what brings you to this particular gala?"
"Rachmaninoff," he said without hesitation, nodding toward the piano inside. "Music like that has a way of drawing people in."
Eleanor tilted her head, intrigued. "You're a fan of classical music?"
"A lifelong admirer," he said. "Though I fear I lack the talent to play it myself."
She smiled, and for a moment, the weight she carried seemed to lift. They fell into easy conversation, talking about music, art, and travel. Ethan steered the dialogue skillfully, weaving enough truth into his answers to make himself seem authentic. But as the minutes turned into an hour, he found himself genuinely enjoying her company. Eleanor Greaves was no ordinary mark. She was intelligent, kind, and heartbreakingly lonely. And for the first time in his career, Ethan felt a pang of guilt. But guilt was a luxury he couldn't afford. Not when the stakes were this high. As the night wore on, Ethan excused himself, his mind racing with the details he had gathered. Eleanor Greaves was the key to the Greaves fortune, and he was closer than ever to unlocking it. What he didn't anticipate was how difficult it would be to keep his heart out of the equation. Chapter 2. The Lonely Widow. Eleanor Greaves sat alone in the study of her sprawling mansion, the faint strains of Rachmaninoff still echoing in her mind. The gala had been a success, at least by the standards of those who attended. Polite smiles, endless small talk, and generous donations to the Greaves Foundation, all in memory of her late husband Charles. But now, with the house silent and the last guest long gone, the emptiness settled in once again. The study was Charles's domain. Dark mahogany shelves lined the walls, each one crammed with books on economics, history, and business. A heavy oak desk sat at the center, its surface meticulously organized, just as Charles had left it. Even 3 years after his passing, Eleanor couldn't bring herself to alter the space. She traced a finger along the edge of the desk, her thoughts drifting. Charles had been a force of nature, a man whose presence filled every room and whose ambition knew no bounds. Being his wife had meant living in his shadow, supporting his dreams while suppressing her own. And now, without him, she was adrift, a ship without a captain. The gala had been her way of keeping his legacy alive, of proving to the world, and to herself, that she was still capable of carrying the weight he'd left behind. But tonight had been different. Tonight, she had met Ethan Marlowe. There was something about him that lingered in her mind. His words, his charm, the way he seemed to understand her in a way most people didn't. He had been a breath of fresh air in an otherwise stifling evening. And yet, Eleanor couldn't shake the nagging sense of caution. Years of being surrounded by opportunists had taught her to be wary, to question motives, even when they seemed genuine. She sighed, sinking into the leather armchair by the fireplace. A glass of wine sat untouched on the table beside her. She stared into the flames, the warmth doing little to chase away the cold emptiness that seemed to cling to her no matter how many rooms she filled with people. Her phone buzzed on the table, breaking the silence. She hesitated before picking it up, half expecting it to be one of the well-meaning socialites from the gala. Instead, the name on the screen made her heart skip. Ethan Marlowe. Eleanor's finger hovered over the screen. He had given her his number at the gala, a casual gesture that seemed harmless enough at the time. But now, as she stared at the message notification, she felt a flicker of something she hadn't felt in years. Curiosity? Intrigue? She wasn't sure. The message was simple. I hope you got some rest after tonight's whirlwind. Thank you for the conversation. It was the highlight of my evening. Let me know if you'd ever like to continue it. She smiled despite herself. It was bold, yet not overbearing. For a moment, she considered ignoring it. But something compelled her to reply. Thank you, Mr. Marlowe. The evening was indeed a whirlwind, but your company made it enjoyable. Perhaps we'll cross paths again soon. She set the phone down and leaned back in her chair, chastising herself for the faint thrill that ran through her. It was ridiculous, really. She barely knew the man, and yet he had managed to pierce through her carefully constructed walls in a single evening. Across town, Ethan sat in a dimly lit motel room, his phone resting on the rickety nightstand. When her reply came through, a smirk played on his lips. He had her attention, just as planned. But this wasn't the time to celebrate. There was still much work to be done. He pulled out a folder from his duffel bag, spreading its contents across the bed. Photographs of Eleanor, newspaper clippings about the Greaves Foundation, and schematics of the mansion lay before him. His notes detailed every aspect of her life, from her daily routines to her charity work. But the most important piece of the puzzle was still missing: the exact location of the Greaves' fortune. Charles Greaves had been a genius when it came to safeguarding his assets. The bulk of his wealth wasn't tied up in public holdings or traceable accounts. Instead, it was rumored to be stored in a private vault, accessible only through biometric verification. The vault was a modern marvel of security, located somewhere on the Greaves estate. Ethan's task was to find it, and Eleanor was the key. But tonight, as he studied her photograph, something strange stirred in him. Her expression, captured mid-laugh during some past gala, seemed so genuine, so untouched by the cynicism that permeated his own life. He shook his head, forcing himself to focus. This wasn't about her. It was about the job. Still, he couldn't ignore the unease creeping in. Eleanor wasn't like his previous marks. She wasn't brash or entitled, nor did she flaunt her wealth. She was guarded, yes, but there was a warmth to her that disarmed him. For a moment, he wondered if there might be a way to do this without hurting her. He pushed the thought aside. Hesitation was dangerous. Attachments were fatal. He had learned that lesson the hard way years ago. Ethan picked up his phone again, drafting another message. The days that followed were a delicate dance of calculated moves and genuine interactions. Ethan made sure to pace his contact with Eleanor, never pushing too hard but always leaving her wanting more. They exchanged texts about art, music, and travel, each conversation pulling her further into his orbit. When he finally suggested meeting for coffee, she agreed without hesitation. Eleanor found herself looking forward to their meetings in a way that surprised her. Ethan was attentive, charming, and, most importantly, he listened. He seemed genuinely interested in her thoughts, her feelings, her stories. With him, she felt seen in a way she hadn't since Charles's death. But there were moments, brief and fleeting, when her guard would rise. A subtle shift in Ethan's demeanor, a vague answer to a question, would remind her of the walls she had built around herself. Yet those moments passed quickly, smoothed over by his effortless charm. Ethan, for his part, found himself treading a fine line. The more time he spent with Eleanor, the harder it became to keep his emotions in check. She wasn't just a means to an end anymore. She was a person. A kind, intelligent, and deeply lonely person who had opened a door to a part of himself he thought he had buried long ago. But the plan was still in motion. and as much as he hated to admit it, time was running out. Chapter 3: The Perfect Plan. Ethan sat in the corner of the cafe, a steaming cup of coffee untouched in front of him. His laptop was open, the screen displaying a blueprint of the Greaves mansion. To anyone passing by, he appeared to be just another businessman catching up on work, but Ethan's mind was a symphony of precision and calculation. He had spent weeks meticulously piecing together every detail of the Greaves estate, cross-referencing public records with his own observations. The mansion was a fortress, its security measures as impressive as its architecture. High-resolution cameras covered every corner of the property, and motion detectors lined the perimeter. Inside, a private vault, state-of-the-art, with biometric locks, lay hidden somewhere on the estate. Its exact location remained a mystery, but Ethan was certain of one thing: Eleanor Greaves held the key. His plan hinged on earning her trust, gaining access to her personal life, and ultimately, the secrets of the Greaves' fortune. Yet as he reviewed his notes, an unsettling thought gnawed at the edges of his mind. Eleanor wasn't like his usual marks. She wasn't driven by greed or arrogance. She wasn't someone who deserved to be hurt. But he couldn't afford sentimentality, not when the prize was this big. A shadow fell over his table, pulling him from his thoughts. He looked up to see Eleanor standing there, a warm smile on her lips. She wore a simple yet elegant navy dress, her hair swept back in loose waves. "I hope I'm not interrupting," she said, glancing at his laptop. "Not at all," Ethan replied, closing the device and rising to his feet. "I was just wrapping up."
"Please, sit."
She took the seat across from him, her movements graceful yet unassuming. "I wasn't sure you'd still be here."
"I almost didn't come." "Why not?"
he asked, genuinely curious. Eleanor hesitated, her gaze dropping to the cup of tea the waiter had just placed in front of her.
"I suppose I wasn't sure if this was appropriate."
Ethan tilted his head.
"Appropriate?
You're a stranger, Mr. Marlowe," she said, though there was a teasing lilt to her tone.
"And I'm not in the habit of meeting strangers for coffee."
"I'm honored you made an exception," he said, his smile disarming. Eleanor's expression softened.
"It's nice to talk to someone who doesn't see me as Eleanor Greaves, the widow. Most people assume they already know me because of Charles."
Ethan leaned forward slightly, his voice low and sincere.
"I'd like to know you for who you are, Eleanor. Not for what others assume."
Her eyes searched his, and for a moment, Ethan felt an uncomfortable flicker of guilt. But she smiled, and the tension between them eased. They talked for hours, the conversation flowing effortlessly from one topic to the next. Eleanor shared stories of her travels with Charles, her passion for art, and her dreams of one day leaving the city to live by the sea. Ethan listened intently, interjecting just enough to keep the dialogue balanced while carefully steering the conversation to areas of interest. It was during one of these moments, as Eleanor described the artwork in her home, that she mentioned the study. "Charles used to say the study was the heart of the house," she said, a wistful look in her eyes.
"It's where he kept all his most important documents, his favorite books, and a few secrets."
Ethan's ears perked up.
"Secrets?"
Eleanor laughed softly.
"Oh, nothing scandalous.
Charles loved puzzles and codes. He used to hide things in plain sight just to see if I could find them."
"It was his way of keeping things interesting."
The information was gold, and Ethan tucked it away for later.
"That sounds like a man who appreciated the value of mystery."
"He did," she said, her smile fading slightly.
"Sometimes I think he loved the thrill of the chase more than anything else."
Ethan noted the sadness in her voice and decided to shift the topic.
"What about you, Eleanor? Do you have any secrets?"
Her eyes met his, and for a moment, she seemed to consider the question. Then she shook her head, a faint smile on her lips.
"I'm afraid I'm far too boring for secrets."
Ethan doubted that. People like Eleanor always had secrets. They just didn't realize it until someone uncovered them. Later that evening, Ethan returned to his motel room, his mind racing. Eleanor's mention of the study had confirmed his suspicions. If the vault was anywhere, it was there.
But breaking into a vault like that wasn't as simple as cracking a safe. He would need time, resources, and, most importantly, access. He opened his laptop and pulled up the blueprints again, his fingers flying over the keyboard. The study was located in the eastern wing of the mansion, far from the guest areas and heavily secured. Cameras covered the hallway leading to it, and the door itself was locked with a state-of-the-art keypad. But there was a way in. There was always a way in. Ethan leaned back in his chair, his mind working through the logistics. He would need Eleanor's trust to get that close, and while he was confident in his ability to charm her, he couldn't ignore the growing complication of his emotions. The more time he spent with her, the harder it became to see her as just another mark. Still, he reminded himself, this was what he did. He was Ethan Marlowe, the man who could talk his way into any room and out of any situation. And Eleanor Greaves, no matter how kind or beautiful, was just another step on the path to his goal. The next day, Ethan called Eleanor and invited her to a small art gallery downtown. She hesitated at first but eventually agreed, her curiosity about him outweighing her caution. As they walked through the gallery, discussing the paintings and sculptures, Ethan took note of how relaxed she seemed. She laughed more easily now, her earlier reservations fading with each meeting. When they reached a particularly striking piece, a bronze sculpture of a woman holding a key, Ethan paused, his expression thoughtful. "It's fascinating, isn't it?" he said.
"The way something as small as a key can represent so much."
Eleanor tilted her head, studying the sculpture.
"What do you mean?"
"A key can mean security, power, even freedom," Ethan said.
"But it can also mean secrecy. It depends on who holds it and what they intend to do with it."
Eleanor's lips curved into a faint smile.
"You're full of interesting insights, Mr. Marlowe."
"Just observations," he said lightly.
"And please call me Ethan."
"All right, Ethan," she said, her voice soft. "Perhaps you're right.
Perhaps we all carry keys, in one form or another."
Ethan felt a pang of something he couldn't quite name. He knew he was manipulating her, but in that moment, he wished he didn't have to. As the evening drew to a close, Eleanor surprised him by inviting him to dinner at the mansion. It was an unexpected move, but one that played perfectly into his plan.
"I'd like to thank you," she said as they parted ways, "for reminding me what it feels like to enjoy someone's company."
"The pleasure is mine, Eleanor," he replied, his voice warm. As she drove away, Ethan felt the weight of what he was about to do pressing down on him. The plan was falling into place, but the cost was beginning to feel heavier than he had anticipated. Chapter 4. Fragile Connections. The scent of fresh roses and aged mahogany filled the air as Ethan Marlowe stepped into Eleanor Greaves' mansion. It was his first time inside the house as her guest, and the grandeur was more overwhelming than he had imagined. Every inch of the home radiated wealth and refinement, from the intricate Persian rugs adorning the floors to the gleaming crystal chandeliers that bathed the space in warm, golden light. Eleanor greeted him in the foyer, her soft smile both welcoming and hesitant. She wore a deep green dress that accentuated her slender figure and contrasted beautifully with her dark hair. For a moment, Ethan found himself captivated, not by her wealth, but by the natural grace with which she carried herself.
"I hope you're hungry," Eleanor said, leading him toward the dining room. "The chef insisted on preparing something special for tonight."
"I'm sure it'll be excellent," Ethan replied, his voice smooth and confident.
"Though the company might outshine the meal."
Eleanor chuckled, her laugh light but genuine. "Flattery already, Ethan?
We haven't even sat down yet."
They entered the dining room, where a long oak table was set with fine china and silverware that gleamed under the chandelier. A small floral arrangement of white lilies and eucalyptus graced the center of the table, understated yet elegant, much like Eleanor herself. Ethan noted the subtle personal touches, the faint scent of lavender lingering in the air, the carefully chosen wine chilling nearby. She had prepared for this evening, and he couldn't deny the effort touched him. Dinner was a symphony of flavors, each course more exquisite than the last. They talked about art, travel, and music, their conversation flowing effortlessly. Eleanor's laughter came more easily now, her initial reservations melting away with each passing minute. Ethan listened attentively, inserting comments and questions at just the right moments to keep her engaged. But as the evening wore on, a new emotion began to creep into Ethan's mind: doubt. The more he learned about Eleanor, the harder it became to see her as just a mark. She wasn't the hardened, entitled socialite he had initially imagined. She was vulnerable, kind, and achingly human. And for the first time in years, Ethan began to question the morality of what he was doing. After dinner, Eleanor suggested a tour of the house. Ethan agreed, hiding his eagerness behind a mask of polite curiosity. This was the opportunity he had been waiting for, a chance to explore the mansion's layout and gather critical details for his plan. Eleanor led him through the grand hallways, pointing out family portraits and pieces of artwork that adorned the walls. Each room they entered was more lavish than the last, yet there was a warmth to the home that surprised Ethan. Despite its size and grandeur, it didn't feel cold or impersonal. They eventually reached the study, and Ethan's heart quickened. This was it, the room he had been waiting to see. Eleanor opened the heavy oak door and stepped inside, the dim light from the hallway casting long shadows across the space. "This was Charles's favorite room," she said, her voice tinged with nostalgia.
"He spent more time here than anywhere else in the house."
Ethan stepped inside, his eyes immediately scanning the room. It was a masterpiece of old-world charm and modern technology. Shelves lined with leather-bound books stretched from floor to ceiling, interrupted only by a massive fireplace on one wall. A sleek modern desk sat in the center, its surface clutter-free except for a single photo of Eleanor and Charles in happier times. "What an incredible space," Ethan said, moving closer to the desk.
"It feels like the heart of the house."
"It was," Eleanor replied, stepping up beside him. "Charles was meticulous about keeping everything in order."
"Even now, I can't bring myself to change anything."
Ethan's eyes lingered on a painting hanging behind the desk. It was a large abstract piece, its swirling colors almost hypnotic. Something about it seemed out of place in the otherwise traditional room. He made a mental note to investigate it further when the opportunity arose. Eleanor turned to him, her expression thoughtful. "You're the first person I've shown this room to since Charles passed."
"It's strange, but it feels right."
Ethan forced a smile, guilt clawing at the edges of his mind. "Thank you for sharing it with me."
"It's clear how much this space meant to him, and to you."
They lingered in the study for a few more minutes, the conversation turning to Charles's love of puzzles and codes. Eleanor mentioned his habit of hiding things in plain sight, and Ethan stored the information away, knowing it could be the key to unlocking the secrets of the room. Later that night, as Ethan lay in his motel bed, he replayed the evening in his mind. The study was everything he had hoped it would be: private, secure, and full of potential leads. But it was Eleanor's words that haunted him the most.
"You're the first person I've shown this room to."
The trust she had placed in him felt heavier than he had anticipated. For years, Ethan had prided himself on his ability to manipulate people, to make them believe in him without ever truly giving them anything in return. But with Eleanor, it was different. She wasn't just another mark. She was a person who had opened a door to him, both literally and figuratively. Ethan stared at the ceiling, the weight of his conflicting emotions pressing down on him. He had come to the Greaves mansion with a clear goal: to find the vault, access its contents, and disappear. But now he wasn't so sure. Could he really betray Eleanor after everything she had shared with him? Or was he already too far down the path to turn back? The next morning, Ethan began working on the next phase of his plan. He spent hours researching biometric vaults, studying their weaknesses and potential vulnerabilities. He also reviewed the notes he had taken during his visit to the mansion, focusing on the layout of the study and the security measures he had observed. But even as he worked, Eleanor lingered in the back of his mind. Her laughter, her smile, the way she had opened up to him, it all felt too real, too genuine. For the first time in his career, Ethan found himself questioning his ability to separate his emotions from the job. He picked up his phone and stared at the screen, debating whether to call her. Before he could overthink it, he dialed her number. She answered after the second ring, her voice warm and familiar. "Ethan," she said.
"This is a pleasant surprise."
"I was thinking about last night," he said, his voice steady despite the turmoil inside him.
"And I realized I didn't thank you properly for the tour, or the dinner."
"You're welcome," Eleanor replied, a hint of amusement in her tone. "But you don't have to thank me. I enjoyed your company."
Ethan hesitated, then said, "I'd like to see you again if you're free."
There was a pause on the other end of the line, and for a moment, Ethan wondered if he had pushed too far.
But then Eleanor said, "I'd like that too."
As he hung up, Ethan felt a strange mixture of relief and dread. The plan was moving forward, but so were his feelings for Eleanor. And he couldn't shake the sense that he was walking a fine line, one that could shatter at any moment. Chapter 5. An Unexpected Spark. Eleanor adjusted the hem of her cream sweater, standing in front of the large bay window in her sitting room. The morning light filtered through the glass, casting soft shadows across the room. Outside, the sprawling estate gardens glistened under a light dew, the world quiet and still. She couldn't remember the last time she'd felt this anticipation. Ethan Marlowe was due to arrive soon, and her heart fluttered at the thought. It was absurd, really, she barely knew him. But there was something about the way he looked at her, listened to her, that felt different. Genuine. The sound of tires crunching over gravel pulled her from her thoughts. Eleanor watched as a sleek black car came to a stop in the circular driveway. Ethan stepped out, wearing a tailored navy jacket that accentuated his broad shoulders and easy confidence. He glanced up at the window, his eyes meeting hers for a fleeting moment before he offered a small, disarming smile. Eleanor's cheeks flushed as she stepped back from the window, her pulse quickening. She scolded herself silently for acting like a teenager, smoothing her sweater as she went to meet him at the door. Ethan felt the weight of his decision as he walked up to the front door. He had spent the better part of the morning trying to convince himself that this was just another phase of the job, but deep down he knew better. There was something about Eleanor that had begun to unravel him, to chip away at the carefully constructed persona he had maintained for so long. When the door opened, Eleanor stood there, her smile warm and inviting. "Ethan," she said, her voice like honey.
"Right on time."
"Wouldn't dream of keeping you waiting," he replied, his tone light but sincere. She led him into the house, the faint scent of lavender greeting him as they walked through the foyer. Today, the space felt more intimate, less imposing, as if Eleanor's presence softened its grandeur. "I thought we'd start with the gardens," she said.
"It's a beautiful day, and they're lovely this time of year."
Ethan nodded, following her through a side door that led to the estate's expansive grounds. The gardens were breathtaking, a tapestry of vibrant flowers and carefully trimmed hedges that stretched as far as the eye could see. A stone path wound its way through the greenery, leading to a small gazebo nestled among the trees. This was Charles's favorite spot, Eleanor said as they approached the gazebo.
"He used to say it was where he did his best thinking."
Ethan glanced at her, noting the wistful tone in her voice. "And what about you? Do you come here often?" "Not as much as I should," she admitted.
"I suppose it feels lonely without him."
They stepped into the gazebo, the cool stone beneath their feet a stark contrast to the warmth of the sun filtering through the trees. Eleanor leaned against one of the columns, her gaze distant. "I'm sorry if I'm bringing the mood down," she said after a moment.
"I try not to dwell on the past, but some days it feels impossible to escape."
"You don't have to apologize," Ethan said, his voice soft. "Grief isn't something you just move on from.
It's something you carry with you, and that's okay."
Eleanor looked at him, her eyes searching his face.
"You're very kind, Ethan."
"Kindness is the least I can offer," he replied, his heart pounding. For a moment, he felt as though the ground beneath him had shifted, as if he were standing on the edge of something far more dangerous than any job he'd ever taken on. The rest of the afternoon passed in a blur of easy conversation and quiet moments. They walked the gardens, shared stories, and even laughed, a sound that felt foreign to Eleanor but welcome all the same. As they returned to the house, Eleanor suggested tea in the sitting room. Ethan agreed, and they settled into the plush chairs by the bay window. Sunlight streamed in, casting a golden hue over the room. Ethan watched as Eleanor poured the tea with practiced grace, her movements calm and deliberate. "You seem more at ease today," he observed. She paused, looking up at him.
"I think it's because of you."
Her words caught him off guard, and for a moment, he didn't know how to respond. The plan, the job, the vault, all of it seemed to fade into the background, overshadowed by the weight of her admission. "You have a way of making things feel lighter," she continued.
"It's been a long time since I've felt that."
Ethan leaned forward, his voice low.
"You deserve to feel that, Eleanor. You deserve to feel everything good this world has to offer."
Their eyes met, and the air between them seemed to crackle with an unspoken connection. Ethan knew he should pull back, keep his distance, but he couldn't. Not this time. That evening, after he left the mansion, Ethan drove aimlessly through the city, his mind racing. The plan was simple, the steps clear, yet he felt as though he were sinking into quicksand. Every interaction with Eleanor pulled him deeper, making it harder to maintain the emotional distance he prided himself on. When he finally returned to his motel room, he found himself staring at the photographs spread across the bed, the blueprints, the notes, the detailed dossier on Eleanor's life. It all felt wrong now, tainted by the realization that he wasn't just conning a wealthy widow. He was deceiving a woman he was beginning to care about. He picked up his phone, his fingers hovering over Eleanor's number. He wanted to call her to hear her voice, but he knew it would only complicate things further. Instead, he set the phone down and leaned back against the headboard, his thoughts a tangled mess. Ethan Marlowe was a thief, a liar, a man who took what he wanted without hesitation. But for the first time in his life, he wondered if there was a part of him that could be more than that, a part of him that could be worthy of someone like Eleanor. And for the first time, the prospect of walking away from the job crossed his mind. Chapter 6: Whispers of Doubt. The Greaves mansion seemed quieter than usual as Eleanor wandered through its halls, her footsteps echoing faintly against the marble floors. Despite the warmth of the sunlight streaming through the windows, a shadow of unease lingered in her thoughts. Eleanor had always trusted her instincts. It was a skill she'd honed over the years, managing Charles's social circle and business relationships. But with Ethan, those instincts were conflicted. He seemed kind, attentive, and genuine, a rarity in her world. Yet, there was a nagging feeling she couldn't quite place, a faint whisper of doubt that made her wonder if she was letting her guard down too easily. Her thoughts were interrupted by the sound of heels clicking on the floor behind her. She turned to see Claire Whitmore, her closest friend and confidant, approaching with a curious smile. Claire was a statuesque woman with a sharp wit and a knack for reading people, a trait Eleanor had come to value. "You look preoccupied," Claire said, slipping her sunglasses into her handbag. "Care to share?" Eleanor hesitated, then gestured toward the sitting room. "Join me for tea?
I could use a second opinion."
"Always happy to oblige," Claire replied, her tone light but her gaze probing. Once they were seated in the sitting room, Eleanor poured the tea, her hands steady despite the swirl of emotions inside her. Claire leaned back in her chair, watching her friend with a mix of curiosity and concern.
"This isn't about the foundation, is it?"
Claire asked, breaking the silence.
"No," Eleanor admitted. "It's about someone I've been spending time with."
Claire raised an eyebrow.
"Spending time with? That's not like you, Eleanor." "Who is he?"
"His name is Ethan Marlowe," Eleanor said, keeping her tone measured. "We met at the gala. He's different.
He listens, he understands. It's been refreshing, to say the least."
Claire studied her friend for a moment before speaking.
"And yet, you seem unsure."
Eleanor sighed, setting her cup down.
"I don't know, Claire. He's been nothing but kind, but there's something I can't quite put my finger on. Maybe it's just me being overly cautious."
"Or maybe it's your instincts telling you something's off," Claire said bluntly.
"You've been through a lot, Eleanor.
It's natural to crave connection, but you have to be careful.
People aren't always what they seem.
Eleanor frowned, her fingers tightening around the handle of her teacup. I want to believe he's genuine, but I can't ignore the possibility that he's not.
Claire leaned forward, her expression serious.
Then don't ignore it. Trust your gut, but do your due diligence.
Find out more about him before you get too close.
Eleanor nodded slowly, grateful for Claire's candor.
You're right. I'll take it slow.
Meanwhile, Ethan sat in the cafe where he and Eleanor had first met, a steaming cup of coffee in front of him. His laptop lay open on the table, displaying a map of the Greaves estate and a list of security protocols he'd managed to piece together. But his mind wasn't on the plan. It was on Eleanor. He had spent the morning replaying their time together in the gardens, the way her laughter had felt so natural, so unforced. It was a stark contrast to the calculated interactions he usually had with his marks. With Eleanor, it felt real. And that terrified him. His phone buzzed on the table, pulling him from his thoughts. He picked it up to see a message from his associate Victor, a man who had been with him on more than a few jobs in the past. Any updates? We need to move soon. Ethan scowled, his jaw tightening. Victor had been pressuring him for weeks to wrap up the job, but things weren't that simple anymore. He typed out a curt reply.
I'm working on it. Don't contact me again until I say so.
He set the phone down, running a hand through his hair. The pressure was mounting, and the walls were closing in. He needed to refocus, to remind himself why he was here. The fortune in the vault wasn't just a prize, it was a necessity. It would set him up for life, allow him to leave this dangerous game behind for good. But at what cost? A few days later, Eleanor invited Ethan to join her at an art gallery opening in the city. It was a public event, and she thought the neutral setting might help her gain some clarity about her feelings toward him. Claire's words still echoed in her mind, and she resolved to observe Ethan more closely, to look for any signs that her doubts were justified. Ethan, on the other hand, saw the outing as an opportunity to solidify Eleanor's trust. He knew she was cautious, and he couldn't afford to slip up now. He arrived at the gallery early, ensuring everything about his appearance and demeanor projected confidence and sincerity. When Eleanor arrived, she looked radiant in a navy dress, her hair swept back in loose waves. Ethan greeted her with a warm smile, his heart skipping a beat despite himself. "You look stunning," he said, offering his arm. She smiled, though there was a flicker of hesitation in her eyes.
Thank you, Ethan.
Shall we?
As they wandered through the gallery, admiring the exhibits, their conversation flowed easily. But Eleanor couldn't help noticing small things about Ethan that gave her pause. His answers to questions about his past were vague, and he seemed to deflect personal inquiries with practiced ease.
Do you travel often?
She asked as they paused in front of a vivid landscape painting. Here and there, Ethan replied smoothly.
I've always preferred staying on the move.
Keeps life interesting.
Eleanor nodded, her expression thoughtful.
And what brought you to this city?
Ethan hesitated for the briefest of moments before replying, a fresh start. The answer was plausible enough, but the way he said it felt rehearsed. Eleanor filed the observation away, determined to dig deeper when the time was right. Later that evening, as they sat in a quiet corner of the gallery cafe, Eleanor decided to test him further. She leaned forward, her gaze steady.
Ethan, why do you spend so much time with me? What is it you're looking for?
Ethan met her eyes, his pulse quickening. This was the moment he had been dreading, the moment where one wrong word could unravel everything. He forced himself to relax, to focus on the truth buried within the lie.
I spend time with you because I enjoy your company, he said, his voice sincere.
You're intelligent, kind, and honest.
That's rare to find.
Eleanor studied him for a long moment, her expression unreadable. Finally, she smiled, though it didn't quite reach her eyes.
I'm glad you think so.
But as the evening wore on, Eleanor couldn't shake the feeling that Ethan was hiding something. and for the first time, she began to wonder if the man she was growing to trust might not be who he claimed to be. Chapter 7, The Turning Point. Ethan adjusted the cuff of his jacket as he sat in the driver's seat of his car, parked a short distance from the Greaves mansion. The night air was heavy, and the faint rustle of leaves seemed to underscore the tension thrumming in his veins. He had been here before, poised on the brink of a critical decision, weighing risk against reward. But this time felt different. This time, hesitation clawed at him. His conversations with Eleanor over the past few days replayed in his mind. Her laughter, her vulnerability, the moments when her guard dropped just enough for him to glimpse the raw, unvarnished person beneath. Ethan had always been good at compartmentalizing, at separating his emotions from his work. But with Eleanor, the lines had begun to blur. And yet, he couldn't forget why he was here. He reached for the folder on the passenger seat, flipping it open to reveal the schematics of the mansion, the study, and a detailed diagram of the security system. He had spent weeks gathering every piece of information he could find, but there were still gaps, gaps that only Eleanor could fill. Ethan's phone buzzed, jolting him from his thoughts. The screen lit up with a message from Victor. "Time's up. Make your move, or we're pulling out." Ethan clenched his jaw, the weight of the ultimatum settling over him. Victor wasn't the kind of man you could stall for long. If Ethan didn't deliver soon, the consequences would be severe. Not just for him, but potentially for Eleanor as well. He typed a terse reply. "Understood. I'll have what we need soon." As he put the phone down, he knew he was running out of time, both for the job and for the emotions he couldn't seem to suppress. The next day, Ethan arrived at the Greaves mansion under the guise of helping Eleanor sort through some of her late husband's possessions. It was a plausible excuse, one that allowed him to spend more time in the study without raising suspicion. Eleanor greeted him at the door, her smile warm but tinged with something he couldn't quite identify. "Thank you for coming," she said, stepping aside to let him in. "I've been meaning to tackle this for months, but it's difficult."
"I understand," Ethan replied, his voice gentle. "Take your time.
We'll go at your pace." She led him to the study, where several boxes of documents and memorabilia were stacked near the desk. Ethan immediately noticed the painting above the desk, the abstract piece with its swirling colors. It had caught his attention during his first visit, and now, as he studied it more closely, he felt certain it concealed something important. As Eleanor began sorting through the boxes, Ethan moved to the desk, pretending to admire the painting. "This piece is striking," he said, glancing over his shoulder at her.
"Was it Charles's?"
"Yes," Eleanor replied, not looking up from the papers in her hands. He was very particular about his art collection. "That piece was one of his favorites.
He said it held the key to his most valuable treasures."
Ethan's pulse quickened. "What do you think he meant by that?" Eleanor paused, a faint smile playing on her lips. Charles had a flair for the dramatic. He loved puzzles, codes, riddles.
"I always thought he was joking when he said things like that."
Ethan filed the information away, his mind racing. If the painting held the key to the vault, it was likely some kind of hidden mechanism or clue. But he couldn't risk drawing attention to it, not yet. As the afternoon wore on, Eleanor began to open up about Charles in a way she hadn't before. She talked about their early days together, the challenges they faced, and the way his ambition had often overshadowed their personal lives. "He was brilliant," she said, her voice soft. "But he could be intimidating.
Everything had to be perfect, his work, his home, even me."
Ethan looked at her, surprised by the vulnerability in her tone.
"That must have been difficult."
"It was," she admitted.
"But I loved him. And I knew he loved me in his own way."
There was a silence between them, heavy with unspoken emotions. Ethan wanted to reach out to comfort her, but he knew he couldn't afford to let his feelings cloud his judgment. He had a job to do, and time was running out. Later that evening, after Eleanor had retired to her room, Ethan found himself alone in the study. The house was quiet, the only sound the faint ticking of a grandfather clock in the hallway. He stood in front of the painting, his fingers brushing against the frame. There had to be something here. A hidden latch, a code, a clue, something that would lead him to the vault. He pressed his ear to the painting, tapping lightly against the surface. The sound was hollow in one spot near the center. His heart raced as he carefully examined the area, his fingers searching for a mechanism. Finally, he found it, a small, nearly invisible button hidden in the swirling pattern of the paint. He pressed it, and the painting slid aside to reveal a recessed compartment in the wall. Inside was a keypad, sleek and modern, its surface glowing faintly in the dim light. Ethan's breath caught. This was it. The entrance to the vault. But as he stared at the keypad, a cold realization settled over him. He needed Eleanor's biometric data, her fingerprint or eye scan, to open it. The vault was designed to be impenetrable to anyone but her. He stepped back, his mind spinning. He was closer than ever, but the final piece of the puzzle eluded him. And the only way to obtain it was to betray Eleanor in a way he wasn't sure he could justify. The next morning, Ethan found Eleanor in the garden, tending to a patch of roses. She looked up as he approached, her smile bright despite the shadows in her eyes. "Good morning," she said. "I hope you slept well." "I did," he replied, though the truth was far from it. He had spent the night wrestling with his conscience, torn between the job and the woman who had begun to mean more to him than he cared to admit. As they walked through the garden, Eleanor spoke of her plans for the estate, her voice filled with a quiet determination. She wanted to use Charles's legacy to create something meaningful, something that would outlive both of them. Ethan listened, his guilt growing with every word. He had always been a man of purpose, but for the first time, he questioned whether the purpose he had chosen was worth the cost. By the time they returned to the house, Ethan knew he was at a crossroads. The vault was within his reach, but so was a connection he hadn't expected, and didn't know how to handle. Chapter 8. A Glimpse of Truth. Ethan stared at the painting in the study, his mind caught in an unrelenting storm of thoughts. The hidden keypad, concealed behind the swirling abstraction, taunted him with its silent promise of untold riches. It was the closest he'd ever been to achieving his goal, yet the hardest step he'd ever had to take. The memory of Eleanor's laughter, her quiet moments of vulnerability, and the way she had begun to trust him filled the room, threatening to drown out his resolve. This was supposed to be simple. Get close, find the vault, get out. But now, everything was complicated. He pressed his palm flat against the cold wall beside the painting, closing his eyes. He could almost hear Eleanor's voice in the distance, carried on the soft echoes of the house. She was in the garden again, tending to her roses, a ritual that seemed to bring her peace. But for Ethan, there was no peace. Only a growing sense of guilt. He pushed away from the wall, determined to refocus. If he was going to see this through, he needed to stay on task. Yet as he moved toward the desk, something caught his attention. A small photograph tucked into the corner of the bookshelf. Ethan picked it up, his fingers brushing over the worn edges of the frame. It was a picture of Eleanor and Charles, younger and smiling, their arms wrapped around each other. The background was unfamiliar. A cabin in the woods, surrounded by towering pines. His chest tightened. For the first time, he saw Eleanor not as a mark, but as a person who had built a life, who had loved and lost. The realization hit him harder than he expected, and for a moment, he considered walking away from the job altogether. But Victor's voice echoed in his mind, a harsh reminder of the consequences of failure. Ethan set the photo back on the shelf and turned toward the door. He needed fresh air, a break from the suffocating weight of his own decisions. Eleanor knelt by the rose bushes, her gloved hands carefully trimming away dead stems. The morning sun warmed her back, and for a moment, she felt a flicker of contentment. The garden had always been her sanctuary, a place where the chaos of her life seemed to fade into the background. She looked up as Ethan approached, his shadow falling over her like a tangible presence. She smiled, but there was a hint of curiosity in her gaze. "You're up early. Couldn't sleep." "Something like that," he admitted, his voice quieter than usual. She stood, brushing dirt from her gloves. "You've been quiet these past few days. Is everything all right?" Ethan hesitated, his mind racing for a plausible explanation.
"I've just been thinking," he said finally, "about how much Charles must have meant to you. It's clear he left a big mark on your life."
Eleanor's expression softened, and she nodded.
"He did. Charles wasn't perfect, but he had a way of making you believe in his vision.
He could be infuriating at times, but I always knew he loved me."
Ethan felt the sting of her words, a reminder of the betrayal he was preparing to carry out.
"It must have been difficult, losing him."
"It was," she said, her voice tinged with sadness. "But I've learned to live with it."
"Grief isn't something you ever truly move past. It's something you learn to carry."
They stood in silence for a moment, the weight of her words hanging between them. Ethan wanted to tell her the truth, to lay everything out and let her decide whether to forgive him. But the risk was too great. If she turned on him, everything he had worked for would unravel.
"I'm sorry," he said finally, his voice barely above a whisper.
"For everything you've been through."
Eleanor looked at him, her dark eyes searching his face.
"You're kind, Ethan."
"Sometimes I think you carry your own weight of grief, even if you don't say it."
Her observation startled him, and for a moment, he didn't know how to respond. But before he could speak, Eleanor's phone buzzed in her pocket, breaking the moment. She pulled it out, glancing at the screen.
"It's Claire."
"I should take this."
Ethan nodded, watching as she walked toward the house. His heart ached with a mix of guilt and longing, but he pushed the feelings aside. He needed to stay focused. The job wasn't done yet. Inside, Eleanor paced the sitting room as she spoke with Claire. Her friend's voice was sharp, cutting through the line like a blade.
"Eleanor, I don't mean to alarm you, but I did some digging on this Ethan Marlowe."
Eleanor froze, her heart sinking.
"And?"
Claire sighed. "He's a ghost.
No digital footprint, no verifiable history. I found nothing that connects him to anything solid."
"That's not normal, especially for someone who claims to have traveled extensively."
Eleanor's mind raced. Ethan had always been vague about his past, but she had chalked it up to personal boundaries. Now doubt crept in, threatening to unravel the fragile trust she had built with him.
"Are you sure?"
she asked, her voice trembling.
"Yes," Claire said firmly.
"I know you want to believe the best in people, but you need to be careful. Men like him don't just show up out of nowhere."
Eleanor ended the call, her thoughts a whirlwind of confusion and suspicion. She wanted to confront Ethan, to demand answers, but part of her hesitated. If Claire was wrong, she risked damaging a relationship that had become unexpectedly precious to her. She sank into the armchair, staring out the window at the garden where Ethan still stood. He looked thoughtful, almost vulnerable, as if he carried a burden she couldn't see. Was Claire right? Or was Eleanor letting her past experiences cloud her judgment? That evening, Eleanor invited Ethan to join her for dinner. As they sat across from each other at the candlelit table, the tension between them was palpable. Eleanor's smiles were more guarded, her questions more pointed. Ethan noticed the change immediately, and his instincts screamed that something had shifted.
"You've been quiet today," she said, breaking the silence. "Is there something on your mind?"
Ethan met her gaze, his pulse quickening. He couldn't tell if she was fishing for information or genuinely concerned.
"I guess I've just been thinking about how much I enjoy being here."
"With you."
Eleanor's lips curved into a faint smile, but her eyes betrayed her doubt.
"And why is that, Ethan? Why did you choose to spend your time with me?"
Her question hung in the air like a challenge, and Ethan felt the walls closing in. He couldn't tell her the truth, but he also couldn't afford to lie outright.
"Because you're different," he said, his voice steady but soft. "You're genuine.
You make me feel like I don't have to pretend to be someone I'm not."
It wasn't a lie, at least, not entirely. But it wasn't the full truth, either. Eleanor studied him for a long moment, her expression unreadable.
"I hope that's true, Ethan."
"Because I don't think I could handle being deceived again."
The words struck him like a blow, and for a brief moment, Ethan considered walking away from it all. Victor, the vault, the job. But the weight of his choices held him in place, trapping him in a web of lies and half-truths. As the evening wore on, both of them felt the cracks in their fragile connection deepening, and though neither said it aloud, they both knew that the truth, when it came, would change everything. Chapter 9. Love or Lies. Ethan paced the confines of his small motel room, the silence weighing heavily on him. The confrontation at dinner had shaken him more than he wanted to admit. Eleanor's pointed questions had felt like a test, and though he'd answered them as truthfully as he could without revealing his true intentions, he couldn't ignore the growing suspicion in her eyes. His phone buzzed on the nightstand, and he snatched it up, half expecting another terse message from Victor. Instead, it was a call from Eleanor. He hesitated, his thumb hovering over the screen. Finally, he answered. "Ethan." Her voice was calm but carried an edge of something he couldn't quite place. "I was wondering if you'd join me for a walk tomorrow morning. There's something I'd like to talk about." "Of course," he replied, forcing his tone to remain casual. "What time?" "Come by at 10, she said. "I'll meet you in the garden." As the call ended, Ethan leaned back against the headboard, his mind racing. The way she had spoken, measured and deliberate, set him on edge. He had spent years navigating tricky situations, but this felt different. Eleanor wasn't just another mark anymore, and the stakes were higher than ever. The following morning, Ethan arrived at the Greaves mansion promptly at 10. The garden was bathed in soft sunlight, and the scent of roses lingered in the air. Eleanor was waiting for him near the gazebo, her posture relaxed but her expression unreadable. "Good morning," she said as he approached. "Morning," he replied, offering a faint smile. They began walking along the gravel path that wound through the garden, the only sound the crunch of their footsteps and the chirping of birds in the distance. Eleanor seemed lost in thought, her gaze distant. "Ethan," she began after a moment, her voice quiet, "I've been thinking a lot about you." His heart skipped a beat, but he kept his expression neutral. "I hope that's a good thing." She glanced at him, her dark eyes piercing. "It is. But it's also complicated." They stopped near a stone bench, and Eleanor gestured for him to sit. As they settled, she turned to face him, her expression serious. "You've been a wonderful presence in my life these past few weeks," she said. "But I have to ask, what is it you want from me?" Ethan felt the weight of her question like a stone in his chest. He had anticipated this moment, but now that it was here, he found himself unprepared. The lies he had crafted so carefully felt hollow in the face of her honesty. "I want to be here for you," he said, his voice steady but low. "I want to be someone you can trust." Eleanor's eyes narrowed slightly, and for a moment, Ethan thought she might push further. But instead, she sighed, her shoulders relaxing slightly. "I want to believe that," she said. "But trust is hard for me. It's something I've had to rebuild after losing Charles and dealing with people who didn't have my best interests at heart." Ethan swallowed hard, the guilt pressing against his ribs like a vice. "I understand. And I don't take your trust lightly." Eleanor studied him for a long moment, then reached out and placed a hand over his. Her touch was warm, grounding, and it sent a wave of conflicting emotions coursing through him. "Ethan," she said softly, "I need to know that you're being honest with me."
"Completely."
The words hit him like a blow, and for a brief moment, he considered telling her everything. The lies, the vault, Victor, all of it. But the risk was too great. If she turned on him now, everything would unravel. "I am," he said finally, forcing himself to meet her gaze. "I promise you, Eleanor. I'm here for you." She nodded slowly, as if weighing his words. "I want to believe that.
I really do."
That evening, Eleanor sat alone in the study, the photograph of her and Charles resting in her lap. Her conversation with Ethan had left her feeling both comforted and uneasy. He had said all the right things, but there was a part of her that still hesitated to trust him fully. She glanced at the painting above the desk, its swirling patterns almost hypnotic. Charles had always been cryptic about his secrets, often teasing her with riddles and puzzles. As she studied the painting, a thought struck her. Could Ethan's arrival be connected to those secrets? Eleanor shook her head, dismissing the idea.
Ethan wasn't like the opportunists who had tried to exploit her after Charles's death. He was different. Kind, attentive, genuine. Wasn't he? Her phone buzzed, pulling her from her thoughts. It was a message from Claire. Have you found anything yet? Don't wait too long, Eleanor.
Trust your instincts.
Eleanor set the phone down, her unease growing. Claire's words echoed in her mind, fueling her doubts. She resolved to keep a closer eye on Ethan, to look for any signs that might confirm or dispel her suspicions. Meanwhile, Ethan was back in his motel room, his hands gripping the edges of the desk as he stared at the blueprint of the Greaves mansion. The keypad behind the painting haunted him, a constant reminder of how close he was, and how far. He couldn't open the vault without Eleanor's biometric data, and the only way to obtain it was to betray her completely. His phone buzzed with another message from Victor. You're cutting it too close.
Finish the job, or I will.
Ethan clenched his jaw, his frustration mounting. Victor's threats were empty posturing for now, but if he didn't act soon, they could become very real. And Victor wouldn't hesitate to use Eleanor as leverage if it came to that. Ethan sank into the chair, burying his face in his hands. He had spent his life running cons, manipulating people, and walking away without a second thought. But with Eleanor, everything felt different. She wasn't just a mark. She was someone he cared about, someone he might even love. But love didn't change the fact that he was trapped. And as much as he hated to admit it, he knew he would have to make a choice soon. Eleanor's trust or the job. Love or lies. There was no middle ground. Chapter 10, The Final Heist. Ethan stepped through the grand doors of the Greaves mansion with a heavy heart. The evening was quiet, the faint hum of the estate's security system barely audible as the house settled into its nightly rhythm. The scent of roses from Eleanor's garden lingered in the air, a reminder of the peace he had felt in her presence just days ago. But tonight wasn't about peace. Tonight, he had to make a choice. He had spent the last 48 hours torn between two opposing forces, his growing feelings for Eleanor and the relentless pressure from Victor. The messages had become more threatening, each one reminding Ethan that failure wasn't an option. But what Victor didn't understand, what Ethan could barely admit to himself, was that this job had stopped being about the money a long time ago. Ethan was here for the vault, but he was also here for her. Eleanor greeted him in the sitting room, her smile warm but her eyes carrying a shadow of uncertainty. She wore a simple black dress that flowed as she moved, her elegance understated yet undeniable. Ethan, she said softly, I wasn't sure you'd come. Of course I came, he replied, his voice steady despite the storm raging inside him. I wouldn't miss dinner with you. Her smile brightened, but only slightly. Good. I thought we could eat outside tonight.
The garden is lovely under the stars.
He nodded, following her through the house and out to the terrace. The table was set with candles and fine china, the flickering light casting delicate shadows across the marble. The intimacy of the setting struck him like a blow. This wasn't just dinner. This was Eleanor opening her heart, trusting him in a way that made what he was about to do feel unbearable. They talked over dinner, their conversation light but tinged with an undercurrent of tension. Eleanor seemed more guarded than usual, her questions pointed and her silences heavier. Ethan matched her pace, carefully navigating the minefield of her growing doubts. As the meal ended, Eleanor set her glass down and looked at him, her dark eyes steady. Ethan, she began, her voice low, I need to ask you something. He braced himself.
Anything. Why are you here?
She asked, her gaze piercing.
Why did you come into my life?
The question was deceptively simple, but Ethan knew the weight it carried. He had rehearsed his answer a dozen times, but now as he sat across from her, the lies felt like poison on his tongue. I came into your life because I was drawn to you, he said finally, his voice soft but sincere. You're unlike anyone I've ever met, Eleanor.
And being around you has made me realize things about myself that I didn't think were possible.
It wasn't the full truth, but it wasn't a lie either. Eleanor studied him for a long moment, her expression unreadable. Finally, she nodded, though
though her doubt lingered in the air between them.
"Thank you," she said, her voice barely above a whisper.
"For being honest."
Later that night, after Eleanor had retired to her room, Ethan stood in the study, the weight of his decision pressing down on him. The house was quiet, the only sound the faint ticking of the grandfather clock in the hallway. He stared at the painting above the desk, his mind racing. He couldn't wait any longer.
Victor's threats were growing more serious, and the longer he delayed, the more danger Eleanor was in.
He had to act tonight, no matter the cost. Ethan moved to the desk, his fingers brushing against the hidden mechanism behind the painting. With a soft click, the painting slid aside, revealing the keypad. His heart pounded as he stared at the sleek panel, its faint glow casting eerie shadows on the wall. He needed Eleanor's fingerprint to open it. That was the final barrier standing between him and the fortune locked inside. Meanwhile, Eleanor lay awake in her bedroom, her mind churning. Her conversation with Claire earlier that evening had left her rattled. Claire had been relentless in her warnings, insisting that Ethan wasn't who he claimed to be.
"You're too trusting," Claire had said. "Men like him don't come into your life by accident."
Eleanor wanted to believe Claire was wrong, but the seeds of doubt had already taken root. She thought of Ethan's charm, his attentiveness, the way he always seemed to know exactly what to say. It had all felt so genuine, but what if it wasn't? Unable to sleep, she rose from her bed and wrapped a shawl around her shoulders. The house was dark and silent as she made her way to the study, intending to retrieve a book to calm her racing thoughts. As she approached the door, she froze. The faint sound of movement inside sent a chill down her spine. She pressed herself against the wall, peering through the narrow crack of the slightly ajar door. What she saw made her blood run cold. Ethan stood in front of the desk. The painting above it moved aside to reveal the hidden keypad. His focus was intense, his hands hovering over the panel as if contemplating his next move. Eleanor's heart pounded as the pieces of the puzzle fell into place. The vault, the secrets, the charm, it had all been a lie. But instead of storming in, Eleanor stepped back into the shadows, her breath shallow. She needed time to think, to process what she had just seen. If she confronted him now, she risked losing the upper hand. Instead, she quietly retreated, her mind racing with plans of her own. Ethan, unaware of Eleanor's discovery, stared at the keypad, his resolve wavering. He couldn't bring himself to take the final step. Every instinct screamed at him to finish the job, but the thought of betraying Eleanor cut deeper than he had anticipated. With a heavy sigh, he pressed the painting back into place, concealing the keypad once more. He couldn't do it, not tonight. As he left the study, he failed to notice the faint shadow moving in the hallway. Eleanor watched him retreat, her expression hardening. She knew now what she had to do. The game had changed, and she wasn't going to be a passive player anymore. Chapter 11. Betrayal and Redemption. Eleanor stood in the quiet of her room, the events of the night still playing in her mind. She could see Ethan's silhouette in the study, his figure bent over the keypad hidden behind the painting. It wasn't just his presence there. It was the calculated way he moved, the way he hesitated as if wrestling with a decision that unsettled her. The man she had come to trust had secrets, and now, those secrets threatened everything she thought she knew about him. She tightened the shawl around her shoulders, her mind racing. Confrontation would be risky. She needed a plan, one that gave her the upper hand. Quietly, she opened her bedside drawer and retrieved her late husband's secure tablet. Charles had been meticulous, his digital records a treasure trove of information about the vault and the estate's security systems. If Ethan thought she was oblivious to what the painting concealed, he had underestimated her. The next morning, Ethan arrived at the mansion early, a bouquet of fresh lilies in hand. The tension from the night before lingered in his chest, but he forced himself to act as if nothing was amiss. He needed to see Eleanor, to gauge whether she suspected anything. Eleanor greeted him at the door, her smile warm but her eyes guarded.
"Good morning, Ethan," she said, stepping aside to let him in. "The lilies are beautiful."
"Thank you."
"I thought they might brighten your day," he said, his tone casual.
You seemed a little distant last night. Her expression didn't falter, but there was a flicker of something in her eyes, something he couldn't quite place.
I've had a lot on my mind, she replied, leading him into the sitting room. Would you like some tea?
Tea sounds perfect, Ethan said, following her. He watched as she moved with practiced ease, her composure unsettlingly calm. Was she being genuine, or had she seen something? As they sat down, Eleanor steered the conversation toward lighter topics, her demeanor disarming. They talked about art, travel, and music, but beneath the surface, both of them were playing a dangerous game of chess. Every word, every gesture carried double meaning, each trying to discern the other's intentions without revealing too much. Finally, Eleanor set her cup down and looked at him, her gaze steady.
Ethan, can I ask you something?
Of course, he said, his heart skipping a beat.
What are you really looking for?
She asked, her tone calm but pointed.
You've been so kind, so attentive, but I can't help feeling there's something you're not telling me.
Ethan hesitated, the weight of his lies pressing down on him. He had rehearsed his answers 1,000 times, but now, sitting across from her, the words felt hollow. Eleanor, he began, his voice soft, I care about you. I didn't expect to, but I do.
And if I've been guarded about my past, it's because it's not something I'm proud of.
Her expression didn't change, but he could see the flicker of doubt in her eyes.
We all have things we're not proud of, she said.
But trust is built on honesty, Ethan.
Without it, what do we have?
The question hung in the air, and Ethan felt the walls closing in. He couldn't tell her the full truth, not now, not like this. But the guilt gnawed at him, threatening to undo everything.
I want to be honest with you, he said finally. But there are things about my life that are complicated. I promise you, though, my feelings for you are real.
Eleanor nodded slowly, though her expression remained unreadable.
I hope that's true.
That evening, as Ethan left the mansion, Eleanor moved to the study. She stood before the painting, her fingers tracing the swirling patterns as her thoughts swirled in kind. She pressed the hidden mechanism, revealing the keypad once more. The faint glow of the panel illuminated her face, her reflection fractured in the sleek surface. Her fingers hovered over the keypad as she entered her code, the biometric scanner lighting up. A soft click followed, and the wall slid aside to reveal the vault, a sleek, imposing structure that held more than just money. It held answers. Eleanor stepped inside, her heart pounding. She scanned the shelves, her gaze settling on a small box labeled with her late husband's handwriting. Opening it, she found a detailed ledger, a map of accounts, and a single note. If you're reading this, Eleanor, it means I'm gone. Protect what I've left behind.
Not everyone who enters your life will have good intentions.
The words sent a chill down her spine. She clutched the note tightly, her resolve hardening. Charles had warned her, and now, she was facing the reality of his words. But she wasn't the passive widow she had been when he died. This time, she would protect herself. The next day, Eleanor invited Ethan to the mansion for dinner. She had spent the morning meticulously planning every detail, ensuring she controlled the narrative. As they sat across from each other at the candlelit table, her demeanor was calm but deliberate. I've been thinking about what you said yesterday, she began, her voice steady.
About honesty.
Ethan's pulse quickened, but he kept his expression neutral.
And
I think it's time we stop keeping secrets from each other, she said, her gaze locking onto his.
Don't you?
He felt the trap closing in, but he couldn't show it. I agree, he said.
What do you want to know?
Eleanor leaned forward slightly, her eyes sharp. Who are you, Ethan?
Really?
The question struck like a blow, and for a moment, he couldn't find the words. He could feel her suspicion, her determination, and he knew that whatever he said next could change everything. I'm someone who's made mistakes, he said finally, his voice quiet. But meeting you has made me want to be better. I didn't come here with pure intentions, Eleanor, and for that I'm sorry.
But I swear to you my feelings for you are real.
Eleanor studied him, her expression unreadable.
And the vault?
She asked, her voice cold.
Ethan froze. The air between them seemed to crackle with tension, the weight of her words crushing him.
I...
Don't lie to me, Ethan, she interrupted, her voice sharp. I saw you last night. The truth was out, and there was no escape. Ethan felt his carefully constructed world collapsing around him.
Eleanor, he said, his voice pleading, I never wanted to hurt you.
She stood, her chair scraping against the floor. But you did, she said, her voice trembling.
You lied to me, manipulated me, all for what?
Money.
It's not just about the money, he said, rising to his feet. It started that way, but it's not anymore.
I care about you, Eleanor.
More than I've ever cared about anyone.
Her expression softened for a moment, but the pain in her eyes remained.
I trusted you, Ethan, she said. And you betrayed me.
I can make this right, he said desperately.
Just let me prove it to you.
Eleanor shook her head, tears glistening in her eyes.
I don't know if you can.
The silence that followed was deafening, and Ethan knew that no matter what happened next, their fragile connection had been shattered. He had played the game too long, and now he was losing the one thing he hadn't realized he truly wanted. Her. Chapter 12. Heartstrings of Deception. Eleanor sat alone in the study, the walls around her echoing with the heavy silence of the night. The painting hung over the desk once more, its swirling patterns mocking her as she stared at it. The events of the evening played over and over in her mind. Ethan's confession, his plea for forgiveness, and the raw pain in his voice when she told him she didn't know if she could ever trust him again. She wanted to believe him. Part of her even wanted to forgive him. But the betrayal cut too deep, and the wounds were still too fresh. For so long, she had built walls around herself, refusing to let anyone in. Ethan had broken through those walls with his charm and his sincerity, only for her to discover it had all been a lie. Or had it? Eleanor stood and walked to the window, looking out at the dark expanse of her estate. Somewhere out there, Ethan was grappling with his own choices. She didn't know whether he would run or stay, but she knew one thing for certain. She had to confront the truth, no matter how much it hurt. Ethan sat in his car at the edge of the estate, his hands gripping the steering wheel so tightly his knuckles turned white. He had no idea what to do. The job was ruined. There was no recovering from what had happened tonight. And more than that, he had ruined the only real connection he had felt in years. Victor's voice echoed in his mind, a constant reminder of the danger he was in. He had promised results, and now he had nothing to show for it. If he left now, Victor would come after him, and likely after Eleanor as well. He couldn't let that happen. With a deep breath, Ethan started the car and drove back toward the mansion. He didn't have a plan, but he knew he couldn't leave things the way they were. He owed Eleanor more than an apology. He owed her the truth. Eleanor was in the sitting room when she heard the faint sound of tires on the gravel drive. She rose, her heart pounding as she moved toward the window. The sight of Ethan's car pulling up filled her with a mix of relief and dread. She had half expected him to disappear, to take the easy way out. But now, as he stepped out of the car and walked toward the door, she realized he was choosing to face her instead. She opened the door before he could knock, standing in the doorway with her arms crossed. You're back, she said, her voice cool. I couldn't leave things like this, he said, his tone quiet but firm.
I need you to know everything.
Eleanor stepped aside, allowing him to enter.
You have 5 minutes.
Ethan sat across from her in the sitting room, the weight of her gaze pressing down on him. He had prepared for this moment, but now that it was here, the words felt impossible to say. I was hired to find the vault, he began, his voice steady despite the turmoil inside him. There's a man, Victor, who wanted what's inside.
He recruited me because I have a history of getting into places I'm not supposed to.
Eleanor's expression didn't change, but her hands tightened around the edge of the chair. When I met you at the gala, Ethan continued, it was supposed to be a simple job. Gain your trust, find the vault, and leave. But it didn't take long for me to realize you weren't what I expected.
You're kind, intelligent, and so much more than I deserve to know.
He leaned forward, his eyes pleading. I tried to walk away from the job, Eleanor.
I tried to stop myself from hurting you.
But by the time I realized how much I cared about you, it was too late.
Eleanor's gaze softened for the first time, but her voice remained firm.
And Victor? Does he know where the vault is?
No, Ethan said quickly.
I never told him. I refused to give him anything because I knew it would put you in danger.
She studied him, her expression unreadable.
And what now, Ethan? Do you think you can just walk away from this?
I don't care about the job anymore, he said, his voice breaking. I don't care about the money or Victor or any of it.
All I care about is making things right with you.
Eleanor stood, her arms wrapped around herself as she turned to look out the window. The silence stretched between them, heavy with unspoken words.
I don't know if I can trust you again, she said finally, her voice trembling.
But I know you're telling the truth now.
Ethan rose, taking a tentative step toward her. Eleanor, I'll do whatever it takes to prove myself to you. I'll protect you from Victor, from anyone who tries to hurt you.
Just give me a chance. She turned to face him, her eyes filled with both pain and hope.
One chance, Ethan.
That's all you get.
The days that followed were tense but productive. Ethan worked tirelessly to sever ties with Victor, using his knowledge of the man's network to ensure he couldn't retaliate. Eleanor, meanwhile, began the process of fortifying her estate's security, determined to protect what Charles had left behind. Their relationship remained strained, but there were moments, small, fleeting moments, when the walls between them seemed to crumble. A shared laugh, a lingering glance, the brush of a hand against a shoulder. Slowly, cautiously, they began to rebuild what had been broken. Months later, Ethan stood in the garden, watching as Eleanor tended to her roses. The sun was setting, casting a warm glow over the estate. He had made mistakes, more than he could count, but somehow she had found it in her heart to forgive him. Eleanor looked up, meeting his gaze.
Are you coming to help, or are you just going to stand there?
Ethan smiled, stepping forward.
I think I've done enough standing around for one lifetime.
As he knelt beside her, their hands brushing over the soil, he realized that this was what redemption felt like. Not a grand gesture or a dramatic confession, but the quiet, steady work of earning someone's trust again. And for the first time in years, Ethan felt like he belonged.